रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 114 द लैमेंट ऑफ मंदोदरी. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. As the wives of Ravana were weeping for their lord, Mandodari, the chief among them, looked long at the body of her husband and mourned deeply. She knew full well that the true warrior who meets with death, fighting fearlessly in battle, without turning his back, is rewarded with highest bliss. But she grieved bitterly with shame that her lord was vanquished and killed by a mere man who was no equal to him. Beholding the king of Lanka lying low, slain by Rama, whose exploits were countless and unimaginable, the desolate Mandodari mourned helplessly. O king of kings, wonder of wonders, Kubera, the friend of your family deity Mahadeva, is your brother. Before your angered self, can the Maharishis, Gandharvas, Siddhas, Charanas, the guardians of the regions, and all those that live in the three worlds, including Indra himself, stand? All the world knows this. Have not the Charanas in fear of you fled? This too the world knows. How then did this man roaming about in the forest kill you? Is it not shameful that this has happened to you? O mightiest of the Rakshasas, how did this mere man, a wandering ascetic who lives on roots and fruits and wears matted locks and deer skin and bark of trees, how did such a man vanquish you who had mastered all the three worlds with your valor, prowess and riches? How did he kill you whose prowess none could withstand? Your city of Lanka is surrounded on all sides by the ocean, built on the top of the Trikuta hill, guarded by the mighty Rakshasas day and night, and none can penetrate into it. I cannot believe what they say, that Rama overpowered you, mighty, skilled and fully armed as you are. Whose exploit then could this be? This is not a thing to be accomplished by a mere man. That Rama was no man was clear to me even then, when it was reported at Janasthana that he killed single-handedly and in a short space of time Khara, Dushna, Trishuras and a host of other Rakshasas. I was deeply perturbed when I heard that an ordinary monkey pierced through the defenses of Lanka, which had been impregnable even to the gods, killed many Rakshasa heroes and destroyed this lovely city. When the mighty Vanaras built the bridge across the ocean, I knew that Rama was no mortal. Perhaps the god of death himself came as Rama, luring you to your destruction by creating an illusory Sita with unequaled beauty and charm. Could it be that Indra, the king of the gods, who had been vanquished and disgraced by you, came in this disguise to kill you? No. It could not be, for he knows how weak he is face to face with you. Truly, this is he that has the well-being of all in his heart, the Supreme Lord, he who is without beginning, middle and end, mighty beyond the mightiest, the creator greater than the Devas and the Lord Brahmadeva. This is Mahavishnu, the valorous, who carried the conch, the disc and the mace, who has the Srivatsa on his breast, the protector of all the universes, who is never separated from Mahalakshmi. Really, Rama, the mortal man, is the incarnation of Sriman Narayana, the lord of all the lords and the worlds. Surrounded by gods in the shape of monkeys to serve him, he is the resplendent supreme absolute truth who killed you with all your followers for the good of all the creatures. Once you had mastered the senses and kept them under your control, then all the three worlds were subject to your sway. The senses, waiting for an opportunity for revenge, have now ruined you. You paid no heed to my repeated entreaties not to make an enemy of Rama. Now you see the result of it. You cannot now blame me, for I had warned you and you knew everything. Lord of Rakshasas, wherefore this infatuation for Sita? Your riches have gone, friends, relatives, sons and subjects have been wiped out. Even you are now lying dead. What good did you achieve? Sita is greater than Arundhati in chastity. Greater is her devotion to her husband than that of Rohini. She is like a mother to you. Was it then becoming of you to have yielded to your wicked will and attempted to force her? You may ask, why did she not kill me if she were such a chaste woman? The answer is that she is the mother of Mother Earth in patience. She is the wealth of Mahalakshmi, the goddess of plenty. Her love for her husband has no bounds. She was not born out of the womb. Her charm and beauty are faultless and perfect. She was living in the friendless forest infested with wild beasts. You assumed the garb of an ascetic and with the aid of Maricha, drew by deceit Rama and Lakshmana away from her, and you carried away by force while she was trembling with fear. You did forget me, your own wife, equally beautiful, intelligent and perfect in every respect. The reason for this was not my imperfection, but your own clouded mind. Using force against that purest of women, you brought on yourself your own ruin. All this has happened because of my misfortune. If you were not destroyed at that very moment of laying hands on her, my lord, it was because even Agni could not touch you. There is no doubt that the evildoer reaps the fruits when the time is ripe. He who does good gains happiness, he who does evil misery. Vibhishana always trod the path of righteousness, sought refuge with Raghava, the embodiment of all dharma. He therefore secured happiness, longevity and the kingdom of Lanka. You were evil-minded, gave up dharma and pursued adharma. Evil deeds were your achievements and you wronged Rama deeply. Friendless and kinless, your kingdom lost and killed in battle, you lie on the field covered with dust. Crows, jackals and vultures will feed on your body. Many women, far lovelier than Sita, are awaiting your favor, sure. But you were caught in the coils of love and you in your folly could not understand it. Neither by birth nor by charm, neither by accomplishment nor by skill is Sita my equal. But you could not see it because of your senseless passion. Death comes to all through something or the other. In your case, Sita was a messenger of death when you brought her from afar and with great difficulty. For 10 months, Sita was kept well protected even as a child in the womb, and the issue that came out was your death. Thus far has Sita suffered by separation from her lord. Henceforth, her trials are over, and in the company of her lord, once again she will be happy. I have enjoyed all the rarest pleasures of life, but now losing my sons and widowed by your death, I am plunged in the ocean of sorrow. With unparalleled riches, adorned with rare ornaments, clothes and perfumes of the finest scents, I have sported with you on the hills of Kailasa, Mandara and Meru, and in the woods of Nandana. I have traversed many countries and beheld their wonders with you in the Pushpakakar. Having lost you, I have lost all that pleasure and happiness. I am left wondering at the difference between what I was then and what I am now. How inconsistent is the fortune of kings. Who could trust it? Ah, King of Kings, how beautiful was your face when you played with me in the drinking halls. Your face, with brows bent as the bow of Manmatha, with its high nose, with the red lips resembling the moon in charms, the sun in its splendor, the lotus in beauty, with the eyes sparkling in intoxication, adorned with a variety of sweet-smelling and beautiful garlands of flowers, breathed in enchanting smiles and speaking sweet words. That face now stands before me, alas, with its beauty bespoiled with Rama's arrows, smeared with clotted blood and flesh, and laden with dust. Its brightness is no more. Oh, my lord, what shall I do? Your death has left me a helpless woman. I never thought that I would be such an unlucky wretch. You may say this today is like a bubble in water, a flash of lightning. Alas, I am the daughter of Maya, the king of Danavas. I was wedded to the mighty lord of Rakshasas. My son Indrajit was a conqueror and captor of Indra, the king of gods. In what am I wanting? Who is equal to me? Can troubles and difficulties assail me? I was filled with the pride of such thoughts. I was sure that my protectors, my invincible father, husband, and son could subdue the most powerful enemies with their strength and valor. With such protectors, I did not fear that misery and sorrow would ever overcome me. How then did this peril from man approach us at all? A body bedecked with brilliant jewels and garlands, shining like the lofty Indranila hill, pleasing in sport and overwhelming in its power on the field of battle, used to delight my eyes like rain-bearing clouds pierced by lightning. Now that same body lies cleft by sharp arrows, like the quills of a porcupine. The arrows of Rama have covered the vital spots in your body and have torn up the skin and flesh and made a mass of disfigurement. Though I was not fortunate enough to speak with you and hear your words, I thought I could at least embrace you, and so I came here. Lo, these cursed arrows of Rama stand between me and my wish, and I cannot touch your body. What gruesome sin have I committed that I should see your dead body thus, and covered with dust, stretched on the field of battle, torn to pieces, dark with clotted blood, like a mountain shattered by the thunderbolt of Indra? Can death assail even you? That you could die even as others do was to me unreal as a dream. But that dream has now proved true. How did Rama slay you? You are the death of death, a favorite devotee of Parmashiva, the vanquisher of the Lord of Death. All the riches and power in the three worlds were yours to enjoy. The entire universe trembled at your prowess. You conquered the guardians of the quarters. The Mount Kailasa, the abode of Shankara, was shaken by your strength. The pride of the proudest was put down by your valor. You were famous through the display of innumerable exploits. You struck terror into every creature. Your voice made all those that heard it quake and cry. You spoke majestic words with courage in the face of your enemies. You were the patron to your kindred, friends, and dependents. Your prowess in battle was terrible indeed. You killed countless yakshas, danvas, and asuras. Innumerable were the sacrifices that you spoiled. You broke the rules of dharma. You carried away forcibly the daughters of devas, asuras, and men. You brought sorrow to the women folk of your enemies. You were the unquestioned leader of your own people. You practiced witchcraft in battle. You were the protector of the island city of Lanka. You are the doer of terrible deeds. Through you we enjoy boundless pleasures of love. You were the first jewel among chariot warriors. Such a lord and husband now lies dead, slain by Rama, and yet I am alive. Is my body made of stone? Through bulls he had obtained protection from all beings except men, and he died, killed by the hands of a man. I did no penance and I secured no boons. Even Rama, who killed my lord, could not kill me. Against me his arrows are powerless. You, who slept in luxurious bed with others, could not even dream of. How do you sleep on this bare earth, red with blood and covered with dust, smelling foul of corpses, surrounded by howling dogs and screaming vultures? The arrows that severed the head of my dear son Indrajit pierced my heart and filled it with grief. Yet I survived because of the thought that at least you were left to me. Today the arrow that destroyed you have brought me to the end of my life. I do not grieve for the death of kith and kin as long as I had you. But now, having lost you, I have lost all other things and must sink forever in the sea of sorrows. You have ascended to the heaven of heroes, which is difficult for one to reach. Could you not take me with you instead of leaving me here desolate and grief-stricken? Separate from you, how can I live on? How can you, my lord, endure separation from me? While I am wailing and wretched here, could you not speak to me a word of comfort? Or are you angry with me because I have come out of the women's apartments and walked through the city gates, exposing myself to public view? Even the sun and moon dare not set eyes on your women. The wind dare not blow them up. And now these women have cast aside their veils and are here mourning you in the presence of all. Why are you not angry with them? Why do you not console them? These tender women are in the agony of desolation, deprived forever of the joys they had known in your company. They are all born of high parentage, chaste, devoted to dharma, rejoicing in the service of elders. And now they have all been widowed. Could it be that today their curses are taking effect, the curses they uttered when you forcibly carried them away after killing their husbands, kith and kin? It is said that tears of chaste women do not fall in vain. Your fate has proved that the saying is true. Your splendor pervades the three worlds. You were famous as a noble warrior. How then could you descend so low as to steal a woman? You ordered Maricha to entice Rama and Lakshmana away from the ashrama in the disguise of a deer, and then you carried away Sita. Does not this reveal your cowardice? Never before had I known you troubled by fear in battle. This was itself a sign that your good fortune had left you and that your end was near. It has been said that when great ones do mean acts, evil is sure to befall them. Vibhishna, your brother, is a seer of the past, present and future. He is truthful and high-souled. When he saw that you had brought Sita, he heaved a sigh of sorrow and said, "Alas, the destruction of our family is come." But consumed by passion, you disregarded his warning and his words have come true. You have brought ruin to the Rakshasa race. Was it destined this should be so? I need not grieve for you whose manifold powers have brought you fame. I must grieve only for myself in my separation from you. All your dependents are now left forlorn. Being a woman, my mind is distracted and I lament in this manner. You have gone your way, followed by your good and evil deeds, separated as I am from you. You would not listen to the salutary advice of your friends, well-wishers and brothers. Did not Vibhishna counsel you many times with sound reasons in accordance with the Shastras and with sweet and gentle words? Did you follow his counsel, which would have brought you glory? The advice of Maricha, Kumbhakarna and Maya, my father, was also rejected by you in your pride of your action. Looking like the blue rain cloud with well-shaped limbs draped in silk, you lie on the bare ground covered with blood, sprawling as if you were in a deep slumber. Can you not speak one word of comfort to me in my piteous plight? Are you not born of the family of Mali, Somali and Maliwan, soldiers of great valor and skill who never turned their back in battle? Could you not raise your eyes and look at me? Arise, arise, O King. You have lain too long. Never before have you been thus disgraced. The sun who used to be afraid of you shines without fear on Lanka. With your parigha, mighty as a vajra of Indra, you have slain countless foes. It shone like the sun. It was adorned with chains of gold. It was highly honored by you. And behold, here it lies, shattered to pieces by the arrows of Rama. Is this battlefield your lady love that you should embrace it? And as for me, you seem to hate me and will not speak to me. Having lost you and suffering much pain and grief, why does not my wretched heart break into a thousand pieces? Thus did Mandodari lament with tears streaming from her eyes and her heart longing for her husband. At last she fell into a swoon. She shone like a lightning flash in the rain cloud of the evening sky as she lay there on the breast of Ravana, exhausted by her sorrow. The other wives of Ravana lifted her up and consoled her, saying, "My dear lady, childhood, boyhood, youth and old age are all transitory. The fortunes of kings are unstable. You know all this." Hearing these words, she sobbed and cried aloud while tears bathed her body. Then Rama said to Vibhishna, "Perform the last rites for your brother and send these women back to Lanka." Vibhishna reflected for a while on all that had gone before and resolved to abide by Rama's well-considered and final decision. However, he pleaded with Rama, "Lord, This Ravana discarded the path of Dharma. He was cruel, merciless, and false. He carried away the wives of others. My mind does not consent to performing his last rites. He did nothing but evil to all creatures. Though the world thought him to be my brother, he was in fact my enemy. He was entitled to honor from me only as an elder. It is not proper for me to honor him who, by his evil deeds, struck terror into all the worlds. The world will be unnatural if I refuse to perform his obsequies, but when they think of his crimes, they will approve of my conduct. When Rama, the foremost of the masters of Dharma, heard the wise Vibhishana speaking thus frankly the thoughts of his mind, he understood Vibhishana's real meaning and, being greatly pleased, said, "This victory I owe to you. I am therefore bound to do whatever you wish. I should tell you what is best for you. It is also my wish that you should perform the obsequies of Ravana. It is also good for you. O Lord of Rakshasas, Ravana was born of the Rakshasa race. He pursued unrighteousness. He swerved from truth. Even so, powerful and glorious, he never retreated in battle. Indra and the Devas were vanquished by him many times, so I have heard. He was indeed a great soul and endowed with limitless courage. The whole world shook in terror before him. You may ask, though he was endowed with all these qualities, still he was my foe. How can I perform his funeral rites? But I say, death should put an end to all enmity and anger. Let not these bitter feelings survive his death. Perform his obsequies. He is as much my kinsman as yours. You know well the mysteries of Dharma. Do for him the rites prescribed, and you will gain matchless fame as one who performed without rancor the obsequies of his wicked enemy." Listening to Rama's words, Vibhishana sent back the ladies to Lanka and commenced quickly the rites due to one who had performed many sacrifices. The priests piled up sandalwood logs and sprinkled on them fragrant scents. As laid down in the Vedas, they sprinkled on it the skin of the Rankhu deer. The ceremonies such as the Pitrumedha Samskara were duly gone through. The fireplace was set up in the southeast. The fires were lit in the west, east and south. Ghee and curds from the sacrificial vessels were sprinkled on the funeral pyre. A cart for bringing the Soma king was placed at the foot. A mortar to hull paddy used in sacrifices was placed between the thighs. The other wooden vessels were placed in their respective positions as detailed in the Shastras. Very near the pyre, a clean goat was sacrificed. The fire god was invoked and the twigs dipped in ghee were placed on the four sides. The body of Ravana was adorned with precious scents, garlands and clothes. With tears in the eyes, Vibhishana and the other Rakshasas scattered fried grain over the pyre. Chanting Vedic mantras, Vibhishana set fire to it. Then he bathed, and with water dripping from his clothes, he offered sesamum and dhruva grass with water, and then water alone for the dead. After bowing low before the pyre, he consoled the ladies again and sent them back to Lanka. When the ladies had entered the city, Vibhishana came back to Rama and stood before him with reverence. Rama was happy in the company of Sugriva, Lakshmana and the army of monkeys, having destroyed his enemies even as Indra had destroyed Ritra. Mangalam Koshilendraya Mahaniya Gunapteye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhumaya Mangalam.